Hello, good morning, church. Good morning to everyone. I'm afraid, like they've told you, I'm a Ugandan. I come from Uganda. The last time I preached, I kept talking of Africa, 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 and some people said, which part of Africa? So it is Uganda. Yes. I love you all, and I'm going to share from Matthew chapter 24. As we all know, we are in a series of are you ready? We are in the process of getting ourselves ready. Ready for what? Ready for the second coming of our Lord. Ready for the rapture. We shall see all this as we go on. We are reading from Matthew 24, from verse 1. To 35. This is the first part, Signs of the Times, part 1. I'm handling part 1 from verse 1 to 35, and the next preacher, which will be Pastor Matt, will be handling Signs of the Times, part 2. You pick up from verse 36. Let me invite Mr. Mladen to read for us. We are reading from Matthew chapter 1. Chapter 24, verse 1 to 35.
Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us," they said, "when will this happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name claiming, 'I'm the Messiah,' and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So when you see standing in the holy place the abomination that causes desolation, spoken of through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let no one on the housetop go down to take anything out of the house. Let no one in the field go back to get their cloak. How dreadful it will be in those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. Pray that your flight will not take place in winter or on the Sabbath. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and never to be equaled again. If those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be shortened. At that time, if anyone says to you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' or 'There he is,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you ahead of time. So if anyone tells you, 'There he is out in the wilderness,' do not go out, or 'Here he is in the inner rooms,' do not believe it. For as lightning that comes from the east is visible even in the west, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. Wherever there is a carcass, there the vultures will gather. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Then will appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all the peoples of the earth will mourn when they see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Thank you so much. Slide, please. Matthew 24 is also known as the Olivet Discourse. It's a prophetic message from Jesus Christ about the end times. One of the reasons that Jesus Christ brought up all this is to get his audience or to get his followers ready. So we shall also go through the verses of this chapter. Amen. However, you should note that this chapter is one of the most misunderstood chapters, yet a very powerful prophetic chapter. Hallelujah. It holds much. From verse 1 to verse 3, we shall find the three questions by the disciples. When will the temple be destroyed? Question 2, what will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? So if you are to understand this chapter, you must also know these three things. When you get to know them, you will understand the chapter. While on the mountain, Jesus Christ spoke to two audiences. Number 2, he talked of his coming, the signs of his coming, and number 3, the signs of the age. If you understand them, you will know also Okay, let's go. Slide, please, to the two audiences. Israel, the disciples, the Jewish disciples of Jesus Christ represented the nation of Israel, the house of Jacob, the children of Israel. That's number 1. And number 2, they also represented the church, the future church. By then, the church was not yet born, because we all know that church begins from Pentecost. What we call church age is from Pentecost to rapture, or the day of redemption. That is the year of the Lord's favor. That is church age. So by then, church was not yet born. Jesus Christ was saying, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So these same people represented Israel as a nation. They at the same time represented the future church. So you need to understand that. Hallelujah. A two-in-one audience always confuses some leaders. Some readers, and they get a wrong interpretation of the chapter. Okay, let us see the two phases of his coming.
Are we there?
Yeah, the two phases of his coming. In his Sermon on the Mountain, he talked about his coming, which is the second coming of Christ, or the revelation of Jesus Christ. One. Phase 2, he also talked about the rapture, the snatching away of the church. So this sometimes confuses. His coming is in two phases. Number 1, he comes to rapture the church. Have you ever heard of the rapture? Much of it will be in after chapter 30, after chapter verse 35. The rapture comes to claim his people, the church, the bride. And the second coming, he comes back with the raptured church, the brides. The rapture is so much explained in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. For the Lord himself will come from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. 17 says, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Praise the Lord. That is the rapture. You may be confused with all this, or you may not understand this. But the most important thing is to get ready. Whether you know the rapture or you don't know the rapture, when it happens, the moment you are ready, you will be caught up to go with the Lord. Hallelujah. I want us to see the difference between the rapture and the second coming. Because we said, he talked about his coming at it, and it is in two phases. Yeah. The rapture, Christ comes for his bride, the church. While in his second coming, Christ comes with his bride. Hallelujah. Christ claims the church, goes 7 years, and then comes back with his bride for the millennium rule. And the rapture happens in the air. Everything happens in the air. The Bible says you come, stop in the air, and then rapture the church and we go. But with his revelation, it happens on earth. He comes and steps on the Mount of Olives with his foot. The Bible says it will split in two. While he was going on the Mount of Olives in the presence of his disciples, they were amazed. And then an angel told them, that why are you amazed? The same Christ you've seen going, he will come back in the same way. Hallelujah. That is the second coming of Christ. In the rapture, it is sudden and mysterious. Sudden and mysterious. It takes place at a breakneck speed, very fast. We shall be raptured at a very fast speed. In a book called The Great Escape by Jack Van Impe, I read and it says, this fraction is kind of difficult, that the rapture takes place at the speed of 11 one-hundredth of a second. What does it mean? That get 1 second, split it into 100 pieces, and then just keep 11 pieces of it, throw away the rest. That is the speed at which the rapture takes place. So the coming in the air, stopping there, rising the dead, transforming us, and going to be caught up with him in the cloud and going away, all takes place in 11 one-hundredth of a second. Because they measured the blinking of an eye in a computer, and that is the speed of the blinking of an eye. 11 one-hundredth of a second. So you cannot get yourself prepared in such a short time. The world will not know what hit them. In case the rapture happens when there's a class teacher behind his students, they will not know where he's gone. He'll just vanish because the speed is too high. They will only see his clothes and everything remaining behind. So that is the rapture. It takes place at a very high speed, sudden and mysterious. Yet with the second coming of Christ, every knee shall bow, every eye shall see, every tongue shall confess when Christ is coming back. So all these signs that are in the book of Matthew chapter 24, they all point to his second coming. They don't point to the rapture. You understand it? So his coming is in two phases. The rapture is church-focused, yet the second coming is Israel and the nations focused. No signs precede the rapture. Yet with his second coming, there are many signs. They are in the Bible, saturated in the Bible. So the rapture can happen anytime. Even now, before I hand back the microphone, it can happen. So the rapture has no warning signs. All these signs we are seeing here, they point to his second coming. Now, Christ is talking to two audiences. He is talking to the house of Israel, to the house of Jacob. He is also talking to church. Hallelujah. But the signs pertain to his second coming. His second coming, we shall be with him, coming back to reign with him. You understand it? Let's go ahead. Slide. Verses 4 to 8, Christ begins with a serious warning. So when you hear the signs, you may be scared, you may be worried, this and that. But the most important thing here is deception. Christ warns that be aware that no one deceives you. A lot is taking place. False messiahs, false Christs, wars, rumors of war, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Actually, verse 4 says, watch out that no one deceives you. And verse 5 says, many will come in my name and will deceive many. Deception again. Verse 6, such things must happen, but the end is yet to come. Hallelujah. That these signs are like the beginning of birth pains. You know, when a baby is coming out, there is nothing you can do to stop it from coming out. But it is preceded with birth pains. So now when you see these birth pains, Christ referred to them as birth pains. When you see them, you should understand something bigger is about to be birthed. Something greater is about to be birthed. So church, as we get ourselves ready, let us understand Matthew chapter 24, that all this is not about our departure. It's about our coming back, these signs you see here. Hallelujah. The rapture has no warning signs. Are we together? Verse 9 to 14, Christ talked about persecution, tribulation. I want also to let you know that even this persecution is in two phases. Number one, the persecution of the church, of the nation of Israel and the left behind. God has two elect groups, the children of Israel and the church. They are both his elect. At this point of time, when the rapture takes the bride, in Christ, there is nothing like church. In Christ, is referred to as the bride. And on earth, church has gone. All there is are the left behind. So now persecution begins for the nation of Israel and the left behind. Church begins at Pentecost and ends at the rapture, when it is raptured. That is what the Lord referred to. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to open eyes to the blind, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor. That is the church age. It ends there. Now what there is on earth is the elect. So persecution begins for the elect. So if the Bible says, if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you are my true disciples. So all we have to do is to be doers of the word. Do what the word says. That is the best way of getting ourselves prepared. Hallelujah. Are you ready? If Christ comes at this time, are you ready? Are you sure you are going? Hallelujah. The earliest is now. You can change. You can tell him. You can repent. You can tell him, Lord, I'm sorry for my crooked ways. Lord, I'm sorry for this and the other. He is just and he will forgive you. And then you begin.
Hallelujah. Verse
14, Christ mentions the end of the age. So the age ends at verse 14. That's where Christ mentions it. What comes in next is the age of the Antichrist.
Hallelujah.
I don't have time to expound on all that, but in future we shall see all that in.
Okay. Let's go to verse 15 to 22.
Persecution intensifies. It turns into a tribulation, unbearable. This is where the days are cut short for the elect's sake. The elect, remember, is the house of Jacob and the church. So for the sake of these two elect groups, the days are cut short. The days of the persecution. If you want to know about Jacob's time of trouble or the time of persecution for Israel and the church, you can read from Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 and verse 11. We are still going through the lines. Now we are at verse 32 to 28. Jesus still narrates the distress of those days. As you read, he continues to tell them, this will happen. There will be a great tribulation. That is verse 29. The great tribulation begins. The plagues, the 21 plagues were found in Revelation from verse 6. The seal, the trumpet, the bowls. God allows these two tribulations. The great tribulation targets the nations of the world. Hallelujah. I'm trying to cut it short because my time is out. I'm sorry. I'm not being so systematic according to the slides because of time. The great tribulation is persecution phase 2. And this one targets the nations of the world. God allows these two tribulations for two reasons. The tribulation that is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble, which goes to the elect, is allowed to punish Israel for rejecting their Messiah. That is number one. And number two, to cleanse Israel. This is the fire baptism referred to by John the Baptist in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. He says, I baptize you with water, but one that comes next will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Its reference is Isaiah chapter 4, verse 4, that God will cleanse the stains of the women of Zion. He will take away their blood stains with the spirit of judgment and the spirit of fire. This is what it means.
Hallelujah.
With the spirit of fire. And he allows the great tribulation to punish the nations for rejecting Christ and for mistreating Israel. Hallelujah. Verse 32 to 34, those are lessons from the fig tree. That one is self-explanatory. You can read it for yourself. Christ draws out and says, if you can see, like I said, it's self-explanatory. And verse 35, our last verse, is the certainty of God's word. Everything will pass away, but his word can never pass away. Hallelujah. In conclusion, Matthew 24 calls us to be watchful, to be ready. And our responsibility is to abide in Christ and to be doers of the word. The very first step of getting ready is to accept Christ as your personal savior. If you are here and you have never confessed Christ as your Savior, you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, the earliest is now.
you can raise up your hand and we pray with you. If you know you have never said that prayer of accepting Christ as your Savior, raise up your hand and we pray with you. Because the rapture we are talking about is claiming the church, the born again, the church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. Otherwise, let us get ourselves ready. Let us believe Christ and let us wait for the soon coming King to claim us as his bride. May the Lord bless you.